Our text for today then is found in Psalm 65 and verse 2. Psalm 65, verse 2. Very short, simple verse. O thou who dost hear prayer, to thee all men come. If you have a newer version of the New American Standard, it's, O you who hear prayer. O thou who dost hear prayer, to thee all men come. For several years now, this passage in Psalm 65 has been one of the most helpful verses in the Bible for me, and one that I need to be reminded of continually. It seems like I go in and out of believing this. I believe it sometimes, and then I get dull, and sometimes going along in a situation, maybe kind of in a state of quiet, unspoken discouragement or unbelief, and just kind of unconsciously going along, and then all of a sudden it dawns on me, God hears prayer. Just like a light comes on, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, but just think of it, God hears prayer. In fact, according to this verse, it is characteristic of God to hear prayer. O thou who dost hear prayer. You are the one who hears prayer. That's characteristic of God. God is characterized as the great prayer hearing or prayer answering God. And you know, when someone says, God heard my prayer, he's not just saying God was aware of what I prayed, but when God heard me, He answered. And so you could read it like this, O thou who dost answer, O the one who is characterized by answering prayer, to thee all men come. The great prayer answering God is the God of the Bible. And this means that according to the Bible, prayer is not primarily something we do to make us feel better. We do feel better when we pray. And I think a lot of the reason for that is because when we're praying, we get in touch with reality, some measure. And really, even that is an answer to prayer, because we've prayed, Lord, increase our faith. And, you know, the Bible ties those together. It says in Jude, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So one of the ways that God, and we ought to be praying that prayer, the disciples prayed the prayer, Lord, increase our faith, and he answers that in praying sometimes. So even in that, God is answering prayer. But according to the Bible, prayer is not primarily something we do to make us feel better, but prayer is something that we do in order to receive answers. That's part of it anyway, petitioning, asking. Someone said that the purpose of prayer is that God might be glorified in the answering. I mean, if he already knows what you need, why doesn't he just supply it? Why does he want you to pray and sometimes pray earnestly? Well, he wants to get it to make everything very clear that he's the one doing this, and that these things don't just happen, that we have to come to the place where we're acknowledging that we can't do it, and that he's the one that has to answer us. And so prayer, the purpose of prayer, that God might be glorified, what, in the answering, not just in hearing it in the sense of knowing what we're praying, but answering it. Jesus said it like this in John 16:24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. That's God hearing prayer. And your joy is full because the thing you're asking of him, he answers, he hears. And so the Lord Jesus is saying that if we will ask, things will happen in the spiritual and material world that would not have happened if we hadn't prayed. Isn't that amazing? That's a wonderful thing. That things will actually happen that would not have happened otherwise, apart from prayer. I was thinking of this a few days ago, and I was reminded again of how many things have happened, according to the Bible, in actual, real, concrete history that would not have happened if people hadn't prayed. The Bible says there's a lot of things that have happened. The entire course of human history has been changed as a direct result of prayer. And the fate of literally tens of thousands of people has sometimes hung on the prayers of one person, according to the Bible. So it goes back to this thing, and this is surely why someone like the Apostle Paul made such a big deal about praying, and asked people to pray for him. And we can get into this mindset of this is just kind of a pious thing, you know, somebody saying, well, pray for me, such and such. You know, I've got to go speak at so-and-so, please pray for me. Sometimes we'll have some brother that's going up on campus, he says, please pray for me. That's not just a formality. We're asking God to do something that wouldn't happen if we didn't pray. And Paul, clearly, he was in touch with God, and he clearly realized that this is really going to make a difference. So he says, you helping along with me, you helping by your prayers. They actually help. And God actually does things. So what I want to do this morning is just remind you and review a little bit some of the times recorded in Scripture where God changed the course of history in answer to prayer, where things happened that would not have happened if men had not prayed, and things that demonstrate why God would come to be known as the one who hears prayer. So the first one is this. In answer to prayer, the course of nature has been changed. And this goes back to what John spoke on Wednesday night. James chapter 5, and let's just read these verses again. James 5, verse 16, the last part of the verse, he says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, something happened as a result of prayer. And it's not like the idea that we can just decide, well, I'm going to pray that it won't rain, and God will do that. That's not the way. We know that Elijah was in touch with God and in touch with the will of God. In fact, at the end of the time, it says 1 Kings 18:1, it came about after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth. So he was in touch with God. He knew that God wanted him. He wanted it was time now for rain. But isn't this amazing? Even though he's not the one making this up, and he's not the one deciding these things, God is showing to him how he wants him to pray. Even then, he had up on Mount Carmel, he had to pray repeatedly, persistently. You remember, he prayed, he got on his face, put his face down between his knees and prayed and cried out to God and sent his servant, and there was nothing. And he prayed again, and he sent his servant, and there was nothing. 7 times, and finally he said, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. So even if we're in touch with God, say, well, if you really know God's will and you're praying according to the will of God, then you just have to pray one time and ask one time and thank him. No, that not in this case. He knew God wanted him to pray like this, and even then he had to persist and persist. And you know, after about the 5th or 6th time, you'd start thinking, well, maybe I missed the Lord. And so what an encouragement this is. And the big thing to get from it is that James uses the case of Elijah to encourage us to pray. In other words, God is a God who hears prayer, and the prayer of one man can make a difference, and it can, what's he say, accomplish much. The prayer of one mother can accomplish much. Isn't that amazing? That's all he's saying here. He's saying, look back and see what God's a God who hears prayer, and the prayer of one person can accomplish much. Therefore, you pray. So, in answer to prayer, the course of nature has been changed. Secondly, in answer to prayer, crushingly powerful enemies have been defeated. Crushingly powerful enemies have been defeated. And this is one that I really love, Isaiah 37. This is Rabshakeh, this powerful king who had destroyed many nations. And in verse 10 of Isaiah 37, thus you shall say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands, destroying them completely. So will you be spared? Did the gods of those nations which my fathers have destroyed deliver them? And he goes through all this list of nations that they had destroyed. Verse 14, Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And then this is the wonderful thing. He went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And what we're supposed to do in impossible, difficult situations in our lives is take this thing and spread it out before the Lord. And that has to do with sicknesses. It has to do with loved ones. It has to do with it has to do with financial needs. Take it, instead of carrying it around, bottled up inside of us in misery, spread it out before the Lord. And that's all. That's a lot of what it is. It's just getting it out. Pour out your, it says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. It's saying, spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah, verse 15, prayed to the Lord, saying, and we won't read his prayer, but after he pours out his heart to the Lord, Isaiah sends word to him, and this is in verse 21. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent word to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed. That's just a little phrase. Because you've prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. Because you've prayed. Crushing impossible enemy, he spreads it out before the Lord, and God says, here's the reason that you're going to be delivered. It's because you prayed, because you asked. In 1 Samuel 7, we see something similar. When you think of this in Isaiah, Hezekiah was one man, but he was representative. He was kind of the head of the nation. He was representative of those under him, and it was like the nation is coming and pouring this out to the Lord. 1 Samuel 7, verse 5, then Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. And they gathered to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the sons of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the sons of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the sons of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And then the sons of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistine. Now, a lot of these people were not regenerate, but they knew this. They knew that God heard prayer. And so they're asking Samuel to pray for them, that God might save them from the hand of the Philistines. Verse 9, Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Well, there it is, an example of answered prayer. Now, this is so simple. But again, I actually have times where I have the thought, what are some examples where God answered prayer? And there's thousands and millions of them where he really does do things. God O thou who dost hear prayer. He hears prayer. Number three, in answer to prayer, whole nations have been spared and kept from destruction. Now this is similar but a little bit different. Deuteronomy 9. This has to do with judgment upon a nation. Deuteronomy 9:13. The Lord spoke further to me, Moses speaking, saying, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stubborn people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they. Verse 18, I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you had committed in doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure with which the Lord was wrathful against you in order to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me that time also. This wasn't just a show. God was on the brink of destroying the nation. And he believed it. Moses realized it to the point of fasting and praying for 40 days. And it says a little later in chapter 10 and verse 10, the Lord listened to me that time also, and the Lord was not willing to destroy you. The Lord listened to me. Not only nations, but individual lives. It says here in 9:20, the Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him, so I also prayed for Aaron at the same time. It's impossible for somebody's life to be spared because you prayed for them. That's what happened here. Think of it. Possible for somebody's life to be one. I mean, we can't think of whole big nations and what have you. We can think of an individual's life. In answer to prayer, individual lives have been spared that would have been lost. Something. All right, number four. In answer to prayer, impossible mysteries have been solved. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter, in order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So he goes to them and he says, pray. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And it goes on, it goes down through here. I won't read all of this. But verse 23, to thee, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for thou hast given me wisdom and power. Even now thou hast made known to me what we requested of thee. So answered prayer. And verse 27, Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place. There's some situations, there's counseling situations, there's things where we have to make a decision and we cannot figure it out. And we can go to all the wise men and they can't figure it out. And we have to go to the God who reveals impossible mysteries. Situations have been solved as a result of prayer. It's actually happened. Number five, in answer to prayer, children who have changed the course of world history have been born who would otherwise not have been born. There are kids that were born that would not have been born apart from prayer. And they changed the course of world history. You can think of 1 Samuel chapter 1, the prayers of Hannah. You remember she's pouring out her heart. And interceding, I don't know how much of this to read to you, but it starts in verse 9 and goes down to verse 20. Verse 10, she greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord, and wept bitterly. Verse 12, she continued praying, or literally multiplied praying. And verse 15, I'm a woman oppressed in spirit, or severe in spirit. I have poured out my soul before the Lord. I have spoken out of my great concern and provocation, verse 16. And Eli answered and said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant your petition that you've asked of him. And he did. Remember in Luke chapter 1, when Zacharias is burning incense in the temple, the angel appears and says, your prayer is heard. Your wife's going to have a son. John the Baptist, born in answer to prayer. She hadn't had any children before that. So in answer to prayer, children who have changed the course of world history have been born, who otherwise would not have ever lived. Number 6, in answer to prayer, multitudes of sick people have been healed. I mean, you can go right through the Bible. Multitudes of sick people have been healed. Isn't that true? In answer to prayer, what's God saying to us? I mean, over and over and over. And people who would have died didn't die. Think of it in the Old Testament. You've got multitudes of sick people have been healed. Well, you've got, even in the Old Testament, you've got ones like Naaman the leper. The sick person, he's healed miraculously. People who would have died didn't die. Hezekiah, he was going to die. He prayed to God, and God lengthened his life out, kept him from dying right then. And the dead have been raised. Even in the Old Testament, you have Elisha praying for that Shunammite woman's son, and he's raised. And think of it in the New Testament, even more, lots more. The ministry of the Lord Jesus, healing the blind and the paralytic and the sick, many other situations in answer to prayer, or even the book of Acts, you see the same thing. You say, well, that was the ministry of Jesus. Well, what about Acts? Even one like Peter raising Dorcas to life. So, beloved, God here, it's not just a pious thing when we pray for people who are sick. That's not. That God answered. O thou who dost hear prayer. So the first thing we say, we've got to pray. That's what he says, to thee all men come. To thee all flesh comes. It's like God hears prayer. We're going to fall on our face before him. He really does. It really makes a difference. You think of that testimony that Rachel shared about Jackson. I mean, there were things that when the doctor comes in, when the doctor tells you over and over, I don't believe this is going to work, and he's trying something that he's never tried before, and then he comes in and looks, and he's amazed. Yeah. You know, it makes a difference. God hears prayer. God hears prayer. Number 7, in answer to prayer, demonized children have been set free. You know, think of the example of the Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman. She comes, O Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. And again, persistent. She kept coming and kept coming. He says everything to discourage her. She keeps coming. And he gives her everything she's asking. And she's saying, have mercy on me. Not just have mercy on my daughter. Have mercy on me. Number 8, in answer to prayer, Christians have been kept from losing their faith and falling away. Now that's quite a thought. But we have Jesus praying that for Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And the implication is that if he hadn't prayed for him, his faith would have failed. And when you turn again, strengthen the brethren. Well, that's, of course, Jesus' intercession for his people, but we need to pray too. Let me read one to you. 1 John 5, verse 16. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin to death. I do not say that he should make request for this. So, the brother here in this situation is a professing Christian. But we don't know where, you know, who's real and who isn't or whatever. But we pray, says, if you see somebody committing a sin that's a believer, professing Christian, you ask and God will give life. So, in other words, part of the way, God won't let any of his people fall away. But part of the way he keeps them is through us praying for them. And it's no, I mean, one of the things that we tend to do is we pray for somebody up until the point that they get converted and you think, oh, well, now we can go on, move on to somebody else. That's when the trials begin. Number 9, in answer to prayer, the church has been revived and filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Acts chapter 4. Something has happened in the church that wouldn't have happened if people hadn't prayed. Acts 4, verse 18. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. And when they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which they might punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. For the man was more than 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And so they go to their companions, report all that the chief priests and the elders had said, all these threatenings and everything. And it says, verse 29, now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence while thou dost extend thy hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And then this is wonderful here, verse 31, when they had prayed, there it is. When they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. That's what they were praying for. They're being threatened or in danger of being intimidated, and they pray that God would give them boldness, and he did. Poured out his Spirit in a fresh way upon them. Ezekiel 36 says this, and this is verse 37 and 38. Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. So he said, this is something I'm going to be pleased. I'm going to let you ask me for this. I will increase their men like a flock, like the flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feast. So you have 1 million people coming into Jerusalem to celebrate something like the Passover. And all these animals are there. I mean, lots of them. And he says, I'll let you ask me to do this for you, to increase your men like a flock, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feast. So will the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they'll know that I am the Lord. And you think of this, this happened on the day of Pentecost. I mean, 3,000 people in one day. God increased the men like a flock. And he will let us, he specifically says that he will let us ask him for this. And you think of what happens. I mean, it's been a while since we've talked much about historic revival, but there's such wonderful accounts. I remember Dr. Culpepper came to the church there where Marilyn went in Oklahoma City and shared about the Shantung revival in China. He said more was accomplished in 2 weeks than in the prior 10 years. What was happening? God was moving and increasing their men like a flock, saving people left and right. But the amazing thing is, this happens as a result, as an answer to prayer. And God says, I'll let you ask me for that. So we ought to be asking him for fresh outpourings of his Spirit. Well, these are just a few examples of the concrete, definitive, real ways in which God has answered prayers. And things have happened in space and time that would not have happened if men had not prayed. James says that sometimes we have not simply because we ask not. And there are people that have not asked, they've not received because they've not asked. These people that we've looked at ask and God answered. And the reason I have belabored all this so much, it's such a simple thing, is that the devil and our own flesh will tell us, he won't tell us that God didn't sometimes answer prayer. I mean, we believe that. God sometimes answers prayer. But what the devil will tell us is that God is characterized by probably not answering prayer. And so the way the devil presents his verse to us is, oh thou, and it's also that he'll answer somebody else's prayer, but he won't answer mine. So this is the way he gives it to us. Oh thou who is characterized by probably not answering prayer. To thee all men come, but most of the time they're disappointed. That's the way the devil will put it in your mind. O thou who art characterized by probably not answering this prayer. Isn't that true? And God is telling us, no, I'm characterized by answering prayer. That's the characteristic thing about me. I'm a God who acts on behalf of the one who waits for me. And so what an encouragement we have. How many examples do we need of things where God answered prayer and did things that would not have happened if men hadn't prayed? So may God help us to, all at Luke 18:1, always pray and not grow weary. Jesus said, shall not God avenge his own elect who cry to him night and day? I tell you, he'll avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? There's going to be pressure on us to not believe him, even though he is the faithful God who hears prayer. So he told them a parable on this wise, that men ought always to pray and not grow weary, not faint, because God hears prayer. Well, that's all I have for today. May the Lord help us to remember that this is God's great characteristic. He hears prayer. Russell, would you?
Charles.
Okay. Yeah.
Remember years ago you said...
Well, what Dave was referring to, there was a time where I kept a book. I would write down answers to prayer, and it finally got full, and I quit keeping a book. But it is wonderful, the things that we saw God do. I mean, wonderful answers to prayer. In the early days, we met in a... I don't know if you all remembered that. You may not have come yet at that point, but we met in a home, and they decided... the family that owned the home where we met decided that they needed to make an entryway that was a lower level that would... where you could take off your dirty shoes and stuff and then go back up into where we met. And as the carpenter came, whom we had witnessed to a lot and shared about the Lord, he came and started tearing the floor out. And he looked through the floor. He said, I can't believe this. There was concrete steps already right beneath the floor. Didn't even have to move them. They were already in place. I don't know if at one point this had already been there or what, but tore the floor out and everything's ready to go. And these are the kinds of things that, and God, and you know, we are so quick to forget the answers to prayer. And when the next problem thing comes up, we feel like God's never heard any of our prayers, and like this is the first trial we've ever had. But it's hard to persist, isn't it? It's hard to persist when nothing seems to be happening. And we have a lot of examples of that. Even Elijah there praying right in the center of God's will, nothing happening, nothing happening. Until he prayed seven times.
We have in the scripture too, where the writer in the scripture is encouraging people to remember the deliverances of the Lord.
Yeah.
That's a good thing for us as we go to prayer, to remember that
yeah.
God has answered prayer on our behalf and behalf of those.
Yeah.
We know.
Amen.
It encourages your faith to pray then.
Yeah, and financial provisions, haven't we? We've seen God give money from out of nowhere, too. I remember John Brashears. Years ago, they were very low on money, and this is back right about the time that I became a Christian. But they were very low on money, and they got a check in the mail from a town where they had lived before, giving them some reimbursement of, I don't know whether it was back taxes or electrical bill that they had overpaid or something. They get it from another town that they used to live in. And that's unexpected type checks, to say the least, isn't it? It's like, how could God provide? And you remember that official. He says, if God opened the windows of heaven, that couldn't happen. And Elisha said, well, it's going to happen, and you'll see it. Your eyes will see it, but you won't get to partake of it. And he was trampled in the gate. Well, Russell, would you close us in prayer?
Lord, we do count it a privilege to be able to gather here before you, before you're really there, you're really alive, and you can really hear.
Oh,
you have ears and eyes, and you can act on our behalf. And Lord, we just ask that you might forgive us when we ask in double-minded or without faith, Lord. And we ask not believing, as Charles has said. And Lord, we ask in ways we desire things we don't even know how to say or ask for, Lord, but you can even hear our groanings, it said, and when without elegant speech, or Lord, you just know our hearts, and we're just thankful that you know us and you love us, and it's your desire to do us good.
Okay.
And Lord, you're just so long-suffering and patient with us, and when we give up so easy, Lord, we just ask that you will increase our faith and just increase our love for others, Lord, that we would not fail to pray for others and neglect them in our thoughts and prayers, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We're so short-memoried, and someone moves away, and before long you forgot about them, Lord, unless you bring them to our mind. So, Lord, we just ask that you'll continue to bring us, just like Rick Wiseman laying down there, we just ask that you'll remind us often to pray for him, and just thankful for his testimony, Lord, and the way he's touched us. We just ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.